Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, third hour. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Football Friday. Final hour of the week, which means Sharp Tierney's in the pen getting loose. Hopefully getting ready to spread out some more wins that he gave out last week. Rough week there, Sharp. Come on. Get your stuff together, buddy. Tiki and Tierney, NFL whip around coming up as well. But as always, we are inside of our Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. The day before Halloween, my Wookiee partner.
Happy Halloween.
Teak, the reason why, you dressed up is because you were reading a book to, I guess that would have been Brooklyn's class, right?
Yes, to Brooklyn's class. They had a celebrity, a parent reading today. So I jumped in and did it as Chewie because Brooklyn was Princess Leia. They all dressed up. The kids dressed up for school today.
Yep.
So she was Leia in school, and so I was Chewbacca reading Dragons Like Tacos. Dragons Love Tacos.
Okay. Well, who doesn't?
Fun. Yeah, you know, exactly. Listen, but dragons don't like spicy tacos, by the way.
No.
And okay. And the kid accidentally gives the dragons jalapenos and the new formula of tacos, and they burn down his house because...
Oh, wow. A little revenge, huh?
No, just unintentionally because they eat the spicy tacos.
And mixed with the fire, it is combustible.
It burns down his house, but then the dragons stay around and they help him rebuild his house because he gives them more tacos.
So basically, it was the Wookiee reading the bookie.
Yes,
exactly. Basically what happened today, right?
That's a good way to put it. Right. The Wookiee reading the bookie.
Oh, man. Nice. Well, listen, hopefully everybody has a great tomorrow. And there's the whole crew, Tiki's crew. Your little one's adorable. I mean, they're both beautiful, but your little one's so cute.
No, Tiki's awesome.
And that's still an age where, you know, because Colton's 5 now, yeah. Brooklyn's 6. They get a little
Colton
bigger.
Colton looks so grown up right now.
I know.
I'm like, dude, what is he, 8?
He's 5.
I know, but I'm saying, I'm looking at him like, dude, you're going to go to middle school.
Very mature. He's very mature, but still with your daughter, and my youngest daughter, there's still, I don't want to say baby, but there's still those little baby tendencies that are starting to evaporate, but Lord knows I'm holding on to as tight as I can.
They'll sit and hold on to you for like 15 minutes.
Yes,
they just hug you. Whereas Brooklyn's like, let me go, Dad. I got to go spin and jump and do all kinds of crazy
stuff. I hear you. They disconnect a little quicker.
Yep.
All right. So the Saints and the Bears, we obviously spent a lot of time this week on the some of the marquee matchups. Ravens-Steelers, phenomenal. It's a big one. And, you know, based on the records and based on the circumstances, I'm not trying to position this as a five-star, you know, must-watch platinum game, the Bears and the Saints. But it will be somewhat revealing because – you know, I mean, I'm not, and nor have I been all season, really enamored with the Saints. But I think that maybe the more interesting story here is Chicago. I would have taken the ball away from Nick Foles. I said this the other day, you know, since Nick took, I don't have it in front of me, but off the top of my head, since Nick took the reins, he was putting up like 260 yards a game offense. Trubisky, not that it was this huge, you know, huge gap, but he was never below 300. You know, he can run. He's got the added bonus with his wheels. You could open up the playbook.
Yep.
In terms of first downs, Foles is like 17 and a half, and Trubisky's right around 21 or 22. There is a definable uptick in performance, actually, with Mitchell Trubisky, but it didn't really seem like it was much of an option.
Yeah.
If Foles doesn't play well this week, he's got to take a seat.
Yeah, I think so. Look, we know that this Bears team, and this is one of those sneaky, like, really interesting matchups of this weekend, BT, because of where both teams sit. Because at 5-2, you look at the Bears, if you knew nothing about, you know, this season so far, like you hadn't watched any of the games, you just looked at the record, you'd say, wow, 5-2.
Yeah.
And they beat this team and that team and this team. The Bears are, man, they going to go to the Super Bowl? And you, but when you,
I don't know if you'd say that.
But you actually watch them. I mean, they're 5-2. They have, they're a game behind, you know, they're actually the same record as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which a lot of people say is the best team in football right now. So you'd look at them and say, man, this team is viable. But when you actually watch them play, you're like, how in the hell does this team win? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because their offense has been so inept at times. Now, their defense is great. We know that, and it's been that way for a couple of years now. Khalil Mack had a down year. We called it down. It wasn't really. It was just kind of average.
He's quite the same player, Teak.
He's not, but he's still impactful. And the rest of this defense is impactful, and they're opportunistic, and it's why they've been able to get after opposing teams. But it's really the offense that gives you the question marks. Like, Nick Foles is now three games in, and you wonder, like, when are you going to be that player that they are paying $20 million or whatever it is to be? You know, when are you going to show what you showed in Philly and you know, make great passes and, you know, get out of bad situations and help this team win with the offensive side of the ball? And if it doesn't happen, mm-hmm. I think what you're speculating on, going back to Mitch Trubisky, has to be an option.
Yeah.
Now, if they do that, it's going to create, I mean, I'm going to hate to see what the locker room turns into in Chicago if they do that, because all of a sudden you're going to have divided loyalties. And when you jerk around with a couple of quarterbacks throughout a season, certain guys are like, yeah, I like this guy. And other guys are like, yeah, but I like this guy. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden nobody's on the same page. Would they be professionals? Of course they would be. Mitch Trubisky was a professional when he got benched.
Yep.
Nick Foles, he's the consummate professional.
Absolutely.
It's not. You're not worried about them.
Yeah.
You're just worried about the emotions of the locker room if they make that switch and go back to Mitch Trubisky.
But I think that players are resilient enough to know, even if there's a leaning toward Foles, and there probably mm-hmm. is, comes in with championship hardware, a little different cachet for sure. Even if they're leaning towards Foles, if they don't play well offensively this weekend, move the sticks, score, I mean, they're averaging barely 19 points a game.
I know.
In the modern NFL, that's criminal. If they have another, I mean, they were pretty inept against the Rams. I mean, they scored 3 points, the defense scored 7, as Coach Nagy said, utterly unacceptable. So what I'm getting at is, even if Foles is the consensus, you know, the consensus choice, if they spit out consecutive, you know, nothing games offensively, I would think that the team would be smart enough and resilient enough to say, all right, let's see what Mitch has again.
Yeah.
They won a few games with Mitch.
No, they did. Then they won 3 games.
They won a few games. Trubisky threw 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter against Detroit.
Wasn't he 3-0?
I know the first 3 quarters weren't good, but he did do that.
I think Mitch was 3-0.
He was, Nick, 1-2. I think he was 3-0.
He was 3-0, and Nick has been 2-2. And so it's, yeah, I mean, if you just look at it simply, does that make sense? But you also have to look at who they lost to. They lost a very close game to the Colts. Now, the Colts have one of the best defenses, but they only scored 11 points in that game. That was one of the ugly games that I've ever seen, BT. 11 mm-hmm. to, it was 19 to 11.
What week was that again?
That was week 4.
4?
Yeah. Week 4. That was right after they benched Trubisky.
Did Darius Leonard even play that game?
I don't think he did, actually.
I don't think he did either. He's back this week, but I don't think he played that week.
And then they also,
which is even worse for Chicago.
Agreed. But then they also lost to the Rams. But the Rams we're seeing are actually a pretty good team. So it's not like he's lost to, like, teams that he should have absolutely beat. They beat the Panthers. Again, that was an ugly game. They beat the Buccaneers, which was, you know, a shocking victory when you think about it now, because how we talk about the Buccaneers. But Nick Foles has done some good things. It's not like he's inept and mm-hmm. he's not a good leader for this team. He seems like he does just enough. The problem is that it's not convincing. And so if you don't have convincing wins, it makes you feel like anytime you're playing a better opponent, say like the Rams or the Saints, that you don't really have a chance. And so
margin forever slim.
Which is why this game means so much, because they're playing a good team who can score, and so their defense is going to have to hold their own. But more importantly, Nick Foles and this offense has got to do something. I mean, they're horrible running the football. I mean, they're 32nd in the league running the football right now. And
they're worse than my team?
Yes. Yes.
That's,
think about
bad.
That. And so Nick Foles is not an athlete like that. You know, he's not Daniel Jones. So Daniel Jones, who's the leading rusher for the New York Giants, at least they have some sort of running presence because the quarterback can go take off and run. The Bears can't do anything, so they're stuck one being one-dimensional. So as much as it is Nick Foles' fault, it's kind of not Nick Foles' fault
time. I was going to take you there because as much as we focus on Foles, Trubisky, Foles, I mean, outside of Allen Robinson, where's the talent?
Been hurt. He's been hurt a little bit, too, right?
But where's the talent? Like, what quarterback? I mean, you take any – I mean, yeah, of course, I guess if you put a Mahomes in there or Lamar Jackson would make some plays with his legs, and obviously they'd score more than 19 points a game, but – I think even if you put Aaron Rodgers on the field with this offense, they at times too often be pedestrian.
Yeah,
the talent's not that good.
Look, Tariq Cohen is out for the year.
Yep.
David Montgomery is averaging 3.5, just over 3.5 yards per carry, which is terrible. Their other running back, who's not even a running back, who's the second leading carrier, that's Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a wide receiver. He's averaging under three.
And a special teams guy.
Exactly. He's averaging under 3 yards a carry. They got 2 rushing touchdowns, BT. Ugh. One of them is Nick Foles.
Nick.
So, I mean, you're right. As much as it felt like it was Mitch Trubisky, I think by Nick Foles being inserted into the starting lineup, it made you realize, maybe it's a little bit Mitch Trubisky, but this is not all Mitch Trubisky, this offense. There's just not talent there.
No, there's really not. So we're on the same page with the Bears. The Saints, let's take their temperature here. You know, Michael Thomas still, not practicing. I mean, he's not playing.
It's a hamstring.
He's not playing this week.
Yeah, he's not playing this week.
He's not playing.
They've been on a little bit of a run, 3 wins in a row against the Lions, the Chargers, and the Panthers. None of them really convincing.
Nope. I was just going to say that.
Right? And I think that's because they don't have that explosiveness. Now, they've had some big plays, but what we used to see with Michael Thomas was – He was like Julio Jones, in his prime, right? You knew there was big play coming at least once and sometimes twice a game. And the Saints are not that now unless Alvin Kamara breaks one off for them. So it's more of a methodical offense. The aging of Drew Brees is maybe a contributor to that as well. And so they end up playing all these tight games. And, in the NFC, with the way that, the playoff picture is going to shape itself out, especially with them having the Buccaneers in their division, it's gonna get a little bit dicey for the Saints if they don't win this game. It gets tight for them all of a sudden.
I wanted to ask you a question, and I was messing around with this on Twitter the other day, and I haven't brought it to the show. I wanted to get your thoughts on the possibility of this even having a remote shelf life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any chance to actually happen? So we know that Sean Payton signed an extension, right?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
I think
like
it was 4 or 5, and he's getting bank. We also know that they are in salary cap hell.
Yep.
Drew Brees is going to retire. He already has a TV job lined up. And I was thinking, and it started because people were saying, well, who should my team hire as a coach? And I'm saying, listen, there's a lot of guys out there. Yeah, Eric Bieniemy, he's intriguing. Brady from the Pantry. There's a lot of names out there, right?
Yeah.
I said, but
college coaches as well. There's tons.
Sure. Lincoln Riley, a couple. Yeah, I threw them in there as well. And I said, but for this situation, when you've had this decade-long malaise, to me, you can't run the risk of hiring the wrong guy. So if I owned that team, what I would do is I would call the Saints. Like they were able to wiggle Parcells out of New England. Very similar.
Yeah.
Jets were coming off their 1-15 season. Granted, that team had more talent than this team, but still 1-15. Parcells comes in 9-7 next year AFC championship game. I'm not saying that. But if you're Woody John or Chris or whoever the hell's making the decision, don't you think it would make sense to aggressively go after Sean? That's one question. And you know him.
Yeah.
The second question, I know he's always kind of had his eye on the Giants job. Do you think that he would be amenable to coming to with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, whatever, to come and, if he's given full control, to coach the Jets? All the money in the world, tons of draft equity, first overall pick.
I doubt it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of the same reason that we've been talking about Trevor Lawrence trying to lever his way out of New York. because of the how the organization has been historically run.
But would he try to do that if Sean Payton was here? He'd be like, yo, sign me up. I'm going to play for that guy.
I'm saying Sean Payton has the same reservations that Trevor Lawrence would. You see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just don't know. And I think there's also unfinished business in New Orleans. They have been so close to that elusive second championship. Not they've gotten there, but it feels like every year they're that team that something happens and they fall short in the postseason. It's been 3 years in a row. They've been the best team in the NFC South for the last 3 years, winning the division. But something always happens. Whether it's running into the Vikings, whether it's a miracle, whether it's a non-call on a pass interference, whatever it may be, something's kept them from getting there. And I think Sean Payton has this belief that he can do it,
even without Drew Brees. Drew's retiring.
Even without Drew Brees, I mean, there's a reason that he went and got Jameis Winston. And so Taysom Hill, as much as we like his role and skill on this team, I don't see him being their starting quarterback.
Me neither.
I think Jameis Jameis Winston's there for a reason.
Okay. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. What is the give me a minute on this. I'll give you the last word. What is the – I know it's early. It's still only six games in terms of what they played. What's their ceiling? I don't see it as a Super Bowl, despite the unfinished
Saints.
Right now?
Yeah, I don't either.
What's
right
the ceiling?
Second round? Yeah, their divisional round. That's how I see them now.
Me too.
Look, they could get better. And again, let's be real. Michael Thomas isn't playing. Maybe it changes when Michael Thomas is on the field consistently because he is that type of player. I mean, he's the best wide receiver. He was last year. The best wide receiver in football.
Yes.
And when you're missing the best player in football, it's really hard to evaluate you fairly. And so I need to see him play if he does play anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 8 weeks in. And where is he?
All right. Hang on. This guy's going to – what? Hang on, T. Give me 1 sec, buddy.
What's up, man?
Yeah. Yeah, had a rough week. Relax, dude. I'm making you guys fortunes. Relax. I'm ready. Yeah. Yeah. Did you take care of that? All right. All right, cool. All right. Sharp is in the house. I tell you, these people, you have one rough week. They want to forget all the good you do for them, Teak. These people, the nerve, the gumption.
Put you in a body bag.
Gonna put them in a bathroom. We'll have a little fun with Sharp Tierney coming up next. Right after that, Teak and I will spin around and whip around all the other games I don't hit with our picks, but we'll make picks next, and I got some good ones. Rough week, you recover, you move on, take it on the chin, and you own it. So we'll make our picks next right here on Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tick, here we go. No better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings. I've told you about DraftKings now for a while. It's the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. All right, draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch, it all matters, and it means a little more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stand to the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game like having a little sweat and having chances at millions of dollars in prizes. Now, if you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Download the app. It's free. It's awesome. Easy to navigate. Very good. And then, of course, once you get there, use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. That's T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. But you have to download the app. And once you do, I promise it'll be easy. You'll have a good time. My buddy Keith, about 5 months ago now, won $18,000. I mean, people who play this, and you've probably been sitting there saying, man, how do they win? Well, they win because they play. You got to get in to make it happen. Download the app and enter code Tierney. Sharp Tierney, maybe. Not just Tierney. T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Get the free shots at millions with your first deposit. All right? Give it a shot. Only at DraftKings. That's code Tierney. Only at DraftKings. Making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's DraftKings.com. All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines. 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, coming up next segment, Tiki and Tierney, Week 8 NFL whip around. But, you know what time it is? It's time to bounce back is what time it is. Rough, rough week. Hey, you got to take it on the chin. You got to own it. But been in the lab, as Dr. Dre used to say, been in the lab all day with a pen and a pad. Been in the lab, and I think I'm going to crank out the winners, get us back on track. So with that being said, let's rock and roll. Sharp Tierney, here it is.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
Every show makes picks, but this show actually makes picks that'll put money in your pocket. And we've got got nearly 10 years of evidence to back it up. Buckle in and get your wallets ready as BT pops on his shades and becomes Sharp Tierney.
Okay. All right. As I said, we got to own it. Last week, not good. 2-7-1. However, on the season, still a pretty healthy 37-31-2. That's just about 55%. All-time, 408 wins in the 8-year history of Tiki and Tierney, 408, 339, and 29. Now, Tiki, if you notice, I've dialed it down a bit. The earring is gone, the hat is gone, the jacket's gone. Yeah, it feels as if Sharp Tierney may have been spending a little too lavishly with his winnings, you know, kind of getting a little reckless, getting a little sloppy. So we've got to get back to our relatively humble beginnings and start cranking out the winners.
Chewbacca will give you good luck.
Oh, yes. I'll take it. I'll take it after 2-7-1. Now, we got three college, seven pros. And, you know, I'm going to do something today that we have not done all year. But if you're a fan of the show and a fan of the segment, you know FNS. What does it mean? FNS. Friday night special. Not one. I got two. All right, here we go. We start in the Big Ten. All right, Minnesota's at Maryland. The over-under is 61. Minnesota's 0-1. Maryland's 0-1. We know about Minnesota. 24 points. They didn't score much. They lost to a good Michigan team, obviously. But they barely cracked 300 yards of total offense. They did not move the ball proficiently against Michigan. And then you look at Maryland and you say, well, what did Maryland do? Well, they lost 43-3 to Northwestern, not Clemson, Northwestern. And they only scored had 200-plus yards barely. They were 3rd-and-11 on third downs, and they only ran for like 64 total yards. What am I saying? I'm saying go with the under. The over-under is 61. This is a Friday night special. Yeah, I know it's not really fun rooting for the under, especially for a Friday night special, but I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the trends. Under 61, Minnesota, Maryland. Let's go. There's number one. Back on the old train, Tiki. How about this? I told you not one, but two Friday night specials. And here is number two in the American Conference, SMU. 5-1 on the season, hosting Navy. Navy is 3-up and 3-down. However, let's face it, Navy, that triple option, kind of scuffling, not the way, when it's at its apex, it's a little better than this, put it that way. I know the Mustangs had a rough, rough game against Cincinnati. However, the Bearcats have five horses up front. They have some meat. That's why Cincy was able to run the ball as well as they did. Now, SMU, rightfully so, they plummeted down the rankings. They're number 22 in the country. But they are the better, more consistent team, period. So I think last week will prove to be the anomaly. It's a 12.5-point number. I'm going to lay it. I'm going to go with the Stangs. The game is in Dallas. Listen, if this was a better Navy team, I wouldn't touch it. I respect the academies. I like to ride Army a lot. I just don't think Navy's anything. No, I just don't think they're not that good this year. So I'm going to go with SMU. Lay the 12 on the hook. Give me the Stangs. There we go. Win number two. All right. Hey, talked a lot about Justin Fields today, Teague. Why not incorporate the Buckeyes? So they're Penn State tomorrow night, 7:30, Happy Valley. Is it a whiteout? I don't know. But when Ohio State is done, it's going to be a blackout because they are going to beat the tar out of Penn State despite the last three of the last four games being, you know, a couple of points here or there. They've been very tight. Listen, I mean, Penn State, how many more opt-outs and injuries can you deal with before you actually just become a team that is not equipped to deal with the arsenal that the Buckeyes are about to empty on you? This is where we are with Penn State, Ohio State, 12 points, a little less than a couple of touchdowns. And listen, they hung 52 this past weekend against Nebraska. You know about Justin Fields. He threw one incomplete pass, a couple of touchdowns as well. He's going to look, with Lawrence not playing, I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, but without Trevor Lawrence playing, he's going to look to really boost up that resume. Give it a buck, guys. Lay the 12. And I like Penn State. I've been to a few games there. A couple of my buddies went there. I got a lot of respect for the Nittany Lions, but the Buckeyes, this will be a non-competitive game for the first time in a while. Give me the Bucks. All right, so we're going with the under in Minnesota, Maryland, Ohio State, and SMU. NFL, Colts, -2.5 at the Detroit Lions. Now, the Colts are coming off a bye. Darius Leonard's going to play. Rivers is starting to get a little bit of a vibe here. He's starting to play pretty well, coming off a nice game. And, you know, here's a question, Detroit fans. You guys going to actually mess around and save Matt Patricia's job? Don't do that. You're not going to actually do that. I think that while I believe, and I've seen them, the Lions' offense is pretty good. I mean, you got Stafford, you got Galladay, you got a good tight end who caught that sick pass, that great win last week. I'm not trying to hate on poor Detroit, but The Colts inside of a field goal, well-rested off the bye. Darius Leonard back on that defense, and he's great. I would take the Colts. I'm going to lay the 2.5 and feel pretty good. What? Yeah, I got it. Lay the 2.5. Take the Colts. Let's go. Take the Colts. Come on. This guy, Teek, this guy's bothering me. If they weren't so connected, I'd have to cut them off. But you can't really do that once you're entrenched in this world, you know? They get your hooks in. They get the hooks in you. Can't run away from these. Relax. I got some winners. All right. Bills. Hey, listen. If you're going to have a take on the radio, right, if you're going to say something, as I said about the Patriots earlier today, that they're done, their season's over, don't even waste your time buying, then you better back it up with some energy behind a pick. Give me the 5-2 Buffalo Bills at -4, hosting the Patriots. They are going nowhere, 2-4, no talent. The for sale sign is in front of the building, as it should be. Listen, Stephon Gilmore tweaked his knee in practice. Edelman's not playing. How the hell are they going to score any points? Cam looked awful. Give me the Bills. I'm laying the 4 and feeling good about it. Give me Buffalo. All right. Time for I went under in one of the end time for an over. Let's mix in a little over here. Raiders at the Browns. Over under is what? 50.5. All right, that seems relatively manageable here. Why? Well, because the Raiders have scored in their three wins, they're 3-3. They've scored 40, they've scored 39, and they've scored 34 in the wins. When they win, they score. The Browns, who are 5-2, even without Chubb, they're still scoring. Even without OBJ the rest of the season. They've had two stinkers against the Steelers and the Ravens, obviously. And for their season, they need to fix that. 13 total points in those two games. But in their five wins, they've scored 35, 34, 49, 32, 37. They score. The Raiders score. Raiders defense is not good. I also think that Garrett could get a strip sack, short field, quick score. Over. I'm going over. 50.5. Raiders and the Browns over. All right, my team, the losers, taking on the Kansas. What's the spread now? Joey, what's the spread? It's up to 30. Kansas City's laying 30. They should be. They're actually laying 19.5 in actuality. Wow. The Jets, I'll say their name. They can't score. They can't stop anybody. Kansas City's great. They're 6-1. Jets are winless here. Perriman's out. Crowder's out. Go get him, Sandy. I saw a stat today. It's like, it was Denzel Mims actually looked okay. I was pretty pumped up about that, at least from my point of view. But for this game, I think that Patrick Mahomes is sitting on the bench midway through the third quarter. Pads are off. He's done. The Jets might score 10 points, and the Chiefs might score 50. So, yeah, it's a big spread, 19.5. I get it. And the Jets are theoretically a professional football team. Lay the night. This thing has 43-6, 51-10. And I took the Jets last week with the 12.5 against the Bills, and I won that game, one of the few games that I won. Jets will get dismantled, 19.5. Lay it before it goes up, which it will. Saints at the Bears, over, under, 43.5. We touched on this game before. You know, Teague, I'm not going to get too deep into the analysis here. What I will say is this. I look at over-unders actually before I even look at point spreads. In my experience, I don't want to say anything's a given because it's obviously not. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called gambling. But for some reason, my success rate, which has been good across the board, but even a little bit better with over-unders, it resonates with me. It's one of those things you look at it. How does it make sense to you? I don't know. It just makes sense to me. And I looked at the over-unders, and it's the second lowest over-under of the week. Now, the Bills and the Pats is 41. I generally try to find one that I just think is low. And 43.5 is low for a pro game. Yeah, I know. We talked about the Bears' offense can't score. But you never know when Drew has a bounce-back game. You never know when Nick Foles clicks a little bit, scores 17, 20 points, whatever. I'm going over. It's a low number. Over Saints-Bears, 43.5. D-cells on point. Gotta love it. Teak, how do you think I'm doing so far, buddy? You like what you're hearing? Attaboy. Hey, we have the Wookiee reading the bookie, but now we have the other form. We got the Wookiee, the real bookie. He's taking bets over there. The Wookiee making book. We got the Titans now, -6 at the Bengals. Tennessee's a terrific team. They almost came back and beat the Steelers, 5-1. You know, our buddy Kyle Brandt, he does a segment on Good Morning Football, Angry Runs. It's a good segment, good show, good talent. I mean, they're all good. He's got that angry runs where you just pound people. This is an angry game. The Titans are going to be ticked off and pissed, and they should be, because they did not play particularly well, although late they did. And, you know, that undefeated record went by the wayside. They're playing the Bengals, who are 1-5-1. Now, Joe Burrow's Joe's making plays. I mean, Joe made that touchdown through that pass before Baker Mayfield had the sick connection, two of them, to lead the last-second win with 11 seconds to go. I'm not saying the Bengals are absolute roadkill here. I'm not saying it's going to be 40-7 throttling. The Bengals are going to score a little bit because the Titans' defense is not that good. Their offense is certainly better than their defense, but I'm going to lay the six. Give me Tennessee. It's a get-right, angry win kind of a game. You know, flex again to the rest, say, hey, we are still what you thought we were. Give me the Titans minus six. This might surprise you. You know, Wookie, Tiki, whoever's going to answer me here. Chewy, Dallas plus 9.5. I took Dallas last week. And, I mean, you look like an absolute moron when you get destroyed the way they got destroyed. My bad. Listen, I don't think Philly, we know Philly's nothing special right now. They're better than Dallas. I'm not saying that the Dallas is going to win the game. I had this weird premonition, Teak, this kid who's coming in from James Madison, you're going to think I'm crazy. I think he's going to like wind up being their next Tony Romo. I think that this kid's going to actually be pretty good. You cannot convince me that with CeeDee Lamb, with Amari Cooper, with Michael Gallup, with, I know the O-line's not good, but with Ezekiel Elliott, with a decent tight end, you can't convince me that Dallas can't score some points to cover the 9.5. So I'm going to take those healthy 9.5 points, stick them in the back pocket, watch an ugly game between two teams going nowhere. But I'm going to take Dallas plus the 9.5. Wookie, Teak, what do you think? Go to bed. All right, that was a positive roar. I will take that. So, in summation, we got two Friday night specials. One is in the Big Ten. The under, Minnesota at Maryland, 61. There's one for you. The other game tonight, SMU minus 12.5 hosting a less than vintage Navy team, shall we say. Give me the Stangs laying the 12 and a hook. Give me the Buckeyes to beat up on Penn State, who is beating up themselves right now. Lost to Indiana, and they're not healthy. Buckeyes minus 12. I like the Ohio State squad to win big. Give me the Colts minus 2.5 in Detroit. Bills minus 4 to blitz the Pats. They're done. Over, under, over. 50 and a hook. Raiders and the Browns. Fun game. Good AFC matchup. The Chiefs to wipe the floor with my miserable team. Lay the 19.5. They'll destroy the Jets. Saints at the Bears. Over, under, over 43.5. Maybe unconventional, but that's okay. Titans minus 6 over the Cincinnati Bengals. That is in Cincinnati. Not that it really matters. Not a lot of fans there. And or anywhere. Dallas plus 9.5. I'm going back to the Dallas well once more with a lot of points. Dallas to cover. Maybe a little backdoor cover, but to cover a healthy number against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, there you go. Sharp Tierney. Had to dial it down. Again, spending too lavishly. Got a little reckless with the funds. We're back to stabilizing the... We've been in the lab, and I feel pretty good. As always, have a little fun. Don't be sloppy with this stuff. You know, handle what you can handle. Do it legally, of course. What do you think, Teak? Real quick. And can you say a word rather than a roar? Because I really don't know what you think of the picks. Yes or no? This guy. All right, Chewy. I know you long enough, Chewy. I think you're going to ride with me. Like in the Millennium Falcon. I got you. All right, let's get the timeout. We'll get these up on social media. Santa's going to take care of that. We'll come back. We'll hammer through Tiki and Tierney's whip around week 8. All the games I didn't touch with the picks. We'll hit on the back end after Erica Herskowitz's update, which is right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney's whip around coming up in a moment. First up, though, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And this one's about the Niners coming in from San Francisco. Eric jumps in. He says, guys, can the Niners still make the playoffs out of the loaded NFC West? As you might remember, everybody's over 500 right now, even with all their injuries. Go ahead, Teak. What do you think?
No, I think they can, but they got to play more like they had the last week with Jimmy Garoppolo, putting up 33 points. Now, again, it was a compromised and beat up and bad Patriots team right now. But, yeah, this team is good. We can't discount them. They are coached very well. Can they? Yes, they can. But it's going to be hard because NFC is loaded.
Yeah, I may have prematurely buried them. They are showing a different resolve and a different gear that I wasn't so sure that they would be able to reach for with the injuries. But they're – give them credit, man. I'm with you. You know, at this point, I'm going to have to take that back. Foolish to rule them out. They've got tenacity, and they can run it, and they've got a good coach and all that stuff. So I'm with you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, the Sharp Tierney picks her up on Twitter, at Teak and Tierney. Go get them. Teak, are you ready for our whip around? Hit what I did not hit in the picks. You ready?
Yes, I am. Let's get it.
Let's start bouncing.
the Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers.
All right, a couple of the teams going in very different direction. The Packers bouncing back off a tough one against the Bucs. They looked outstanding. Rodgers was great last week, phenomenal. Yet here are the Vikings sitting at 1-5, although head coach Matt LaFleur says we can't look at them like they had that kind of a record.
It's going to be a challenge. They play extremely hard. I don't care what necessarily the numbers say. If you look at them, particularly on third down and in the red zone, they're one of the best defenses in the National Football League.
So, Teek, this is one of those divisional rivalries that you know all about, whether, you know, the Washington or you guys or Philly or Dallas was up or down. It really didn't matter. Yep. You get a lot of tight games in situations like this.
Yeah, you always do. And what you used to be able to rely upon was the Vikings defense. It was stout both in overall but also scoring. They're bottom of the league, 30th in scoring and 29th in total defense. So this is really about the Packers taking care of their business. And they're going to do it without Aaron Jones again, who has a calf injury, so Jamal Williams is going to carry the load in the backfield. But we saw Aaron Rodgers get beat up by the Bucs. He rebounded heavily against the Texans. I think it's the Packers' game to lose, but we'll see how if Minnesota has any fight in them, because they need to fight right now.
We shall see as we move on.
Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins.
It's an interesting game. Rams better than I think most people thought, certainly more so than I thought. And here we go. No longer Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic time. Tua under center. Tua Tagovailoa now the starter for the Dolphins. You got to watch this one.
It's really exciting for our offense and our team. It'll show, you know, what kind of team that, you know, we kind of have, you know, after a bye week and whatnot. But we know what we're going up against. We're going up against one of the top NFL defenses, you know, in the league.
You know, I didn't love the timing of it, but it doesn't matter. That's an organizational decision. They made it, and hoping the young man plays well and stays healthy.
Yeah, look, the key for the Rams, as it's been really for Jared Goff's successful years there, is their run game. They're seventh in running the ball right now. They're third in rush TDs, and that sets up, as we all know, play action pass, where Jared Goff is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL if you get those at second level to suck up a little bit. So I think for the Rams, about Jared Goff being able to be comfortable and getting after a very young quarterback with that front, we all know, led by Aaron Donald and Tua. We love Tua just because he's such a great kid. His time is now. Is he going to struggle? Of course. He's a rookie, and this is his first action against a very good defense. But I think it was time, even if the timing was odd.
Let's keep it moving. Get to the best game of the weekend.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens.
On CBS, this has been the focal point of the week here, Teek. This is going to be awesome. I like the Steelers here. I don't know if the Ravens can match him vertically throwing the ball. They're going to have to. But this should be all sorts of fun.
Yeah, look, this is the same type of a game plan for the Ravens that they didn't do against the Chiefs. They tried to keep up with the Chiefs by not running the ball and trying to match quarterback for quarterback. The Ravens just got to let Lamar Jackson be Lamar Jackson. And if he has to carry the ball 15 to 20 times in this game in order to keep the Steelers very good and athletic defense off balance, then that's what you have to do. We know what Big Ben's going to do. He's going to air it out down the field. He's got tons of weapons to choose from. To me, this is about sticking to your identity, this game, and that's who's going to ultimately win.
You mentioned Big Ben. Let's hear from the future Hall of Famer. Weighed in on the rivalry.
Well, it's tough. It's a physical one. It can be nasty at times. But I've always felt, as many times as my nose has been broke, we've had injuries, it's been a close game. It's always been football in its truest form in the sense that it's never dirty. It's never been nasty. It's just been hard-nosed football. And so this is one you always want your bye week to be after.
Going to be a blast. Steelers, as we know, 6-0. Ravens, 5-1. One Eastern kick on CBS as we move on.
Los Angeles Chargers, the Denver Broncos.
Anybody else think the Chargers might start getting on a little win streak here, Teek? What do
you
think?
Yeah, I mean, look, we like Justin Herbert.
Love him.
He's played really well the first couple of weeks. This team doesn't have they don't know how to win yet. But that might be changing. And if Justin Herbert keeps doing the things that he's doing, those winning ways are going to start coming. And then the culture is going to fall right behind him. And they're going to be a very good squad, I think, very soon. Maybe not this year, playoff-wise or anything. But, you know, next couple of years, they're going to be competitive for division and maybe even, you know, Super Bowl conversations.
Herbert looks like the real deal. And while the Broncos, you know, scuffle in terms of moving the ball and scoring points, that defense pretty legit, and it's something Anthony Lynn spoke of during the week.
Anytime you can have a pass rush, create a pass rush, and you're good in the back end skill wise, you know, that's going to be a challenge. So no, we look forward to it. We play this team a lot. We're very familiar with this team and what they do and how they do it. So it's just going to come down to no execution. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a dog fight, you know, a four-quarter football game, but we got to execute all four quarters.
Teague, if the Chargers stumble hard the rest of the way, you think there's a chance? I mean, I would think there's a good chance Lynn might not be brought back at that point.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
They got so much respect for him in that organization. They know they're on a rookie quarterback right now. So and it's a pandemic season. I think a lot of coaches who are borderline are going to get passes.
All right, let's move it on.
The San Francisco 49ers, the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, this is suddenly a big one here. Niners starting to look better. Mm-hmm. Seattle, you know, coming off a rough performance. Kyle Shanahan knows that guy on the center for Seattle, all sorts of trouble.
Russell's always been the man, and you can't take anything away from their philosophy and how they've done it. I mean, they usually keep it close till the fourth, and then Russell kind of takes over, and that's why they're hard to beat. And still similar to that, but they've been coming out right away and getting after people and throwing just a little bit more than usual.
Teague, you look at Seattle as vulnerable right now or no?
No, I don't. I think they exposed a weakness that has been around all season, got exposed last week by the Arizona Cardinals in that, you know, great come from behind victory for Kyler Murray. Are the 49ers that type of team as well? Yeah, of course. If Jimmy Garoppolo is clean in the pocket and he can, you know, unleash his weapons and led by Kittle, the George Kittle, their tight end, this 49ers team is going to be difficult for the Seahawks to deal with, who don't stop the run. They don't stop the pass very well at all. Will it be a shootout? Maybe. But I think 49ers defense is the X factor here. If they can contain in any way Russell and cause him to make mistakes like Arizona's defense did last weekend with three interceptions, then they can win this game and really reestablish themselves as one of the teams to beat in the division.
I hear you, but there's a chance Russell Wilson doesn't throw three picks in a game the rest of his career.
True.
But I hear you.
True.
Got to bring the pressure. I got you. All right, so there it is. The Week 8, Tiki and Tierney. You don't whip them. Let me join you here, Les. Let me at least get this thing on the last segment here, man. So what time's your flight, Tiki? You're going down to Tuscaloosa, right?
Yeah, I'm heading down to Birmingham this afternoon. This evening, I should say. My flight's in not till 7:15 or something like that. So I have time this time to make it to the airport as opposed to, you know, sprinting there like I usually do.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State, you know, Alabama, it's likely not going to be close, but you never know with Mike Leach. If he decides to run the ball at all, which he doesn't do, Kylin Hill, which we hit earlier in the week,
that's right,
is deciding to opt out of the college football season, kind of takes away one of those options. But this is for Mississippi State. They scored 44 points in Week One. BT, they've scored 30 points in the last three games. So,
well, how many yards do they have Week One? Like 700, right?
Their quarterback, KJ Costello, had 620 something yard throwing, and then he's been a disaster since. He's thrown 10 interceptions in the last three games. 10.
I realize that. I might have to put a little money the other way. All right. Well, listen, Deesa, what do we have? About 30? What do we have?
Yeah.
30?
Happy Halloween.
Yeah. Get the hat on, buddy. Come on. Throw it on. You got it on. There you go. Enjoy tomorrow with the kids and have a good time. Be safe and all that stuff. Be sensible. Teak, have a safe flight, buddy. I'll catch you on Monday.
See you, brother.
Everybody enjoy the rest of their weekend. Have fun with the picks. Again, they're up on social media. Sharp Tierney 2 Friday Night Specials tonight. So go check it out and get busy. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you Monday. Peace. Stay sensible. Change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.